Good morning, 8:09 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us by phone, as he always does on a Monday, is Santa Rosa Sheriff Bob Johnson. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. We had a follow-up arrest on the incident you and I talked about previously at the pair of ball fields, right?
Yeah, it's basically the only real charge we had was like disorderly conduct for causing all that disruption at the para fields that one night when everybody started, you know, putting on Facebook and everything that there was an active shooter, which there never was. But we did make an arrest there.
So I know when you and I talked about this before, it sounded like the citizens who had made false allegations or exaggerated allegations that they might be subject to, some kind of a criminal sanction, and that you were warning people obviously not to inflate, you know, claims on Facebook.
Correct.
But now, you know, there actually has been some kind of a follow up that there may have been, if not a gun, at least a threat of a gun or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah. After interviewing several people, they came up. Apparently, there was never a gun actually brought to, you know, the fields or anything like that. But the guy did say something along those lines that he was going to go get a gun or something like that. So we arrested him, and hopefully it sends a message. I mean, it's just it's so dumb, number one, that, you know, guns don't solve anything other than if you're being attacked by somebody or obviously defending yourself or your home. But, you know, you get an argument with somebody and another unarmed person, you know, guns aren't the answer.
Isn't it interesting? My experience, and you tell me if your experience is different, because that's why I always like to ask you the question. In my experience, there's two kinds of people that have guns, whether they carry them or have them in their car or whatever. There's the kind of person who, like, the gun becomes an enabler for their bad judgment and anger. And then there's the, you know, good citizens for whom knowing they have a gun makes them calm down, de-escalate, actively avoid, precisely because they know they're safe and they don't have to get angry. It exaggerates them in both directions. Have you seen this or perceived this?
Yeah, 100%. And it's kind of like, you know, the old saying back in the Wild West, you know, God made men and Colt made men equal. You know, I mean, some people do get a gun and they feel like they're invincible. They're like, hey, I got a gun. I can take care of anything and anybody that bothers me. And it doesn't quite work that way. Hmm. And, you know, having been shot at before, just because you have a gun does not mean you can't get in trouble or get killed.
Right.
So especially if you have bad judgment along with the firearm.
One of the stories that came out last week that was just horrifying to me was the number of stop arm violations at school buses parked.
Yeah.
Red lights on, stop sign extended, including the video that we all saw on Channel 3 of a white pickup truck trying to pass on the right and just about killed a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah, and honked at the kid like the kid was doing something wrong. He was just trying to get on the dang school bus.
No. I didn't catch that. The truck honked at the kid?
Yeah.
My brain's going to explode.
I know. It's pretty much insane. And it gets to the point where it's like kind of like this. If you're in that big of a hurry to get somewhere that you don't care if you're going to kill a kid, you've got some issues you need to go to a psychiatrist for or something. Because that's just stupid. I mean, the arms come out, how long do you have to wait? Maybe a minute and a half, maybe at the most. If that's going to disrupt your day to that effect, you have some issues for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, it is just amazing. But then again, I can say from personal experience, having driven in this area for 11 years, there's a lot of good drivers and then there's a lot of others.
Oh boy.
And it's You're horrifying. I don't know how much you guys were involved in, I think it was an FDLE case primarily, but this subsequent pill mill arrest at the Pace Pharmacy that followed after the OB, the obstetrician had been arrested last year. And now we have two pharmacists and an office manager get arrested, right?
Yeah. And a few years back, we started the case. Our narcotics division actually started the case into this and gave it to the FBI, who dropped the ball a couple of years back. Shocker. And then FDLE took it and FDLE ran with it. And now we're at the current stage, which, you know, from what I'm being told and certain specific things in the case that I can't discuss, but It's been a long time coming, and they need to, they definitely need to be in jail.
You know, the comment that I had made was, about this case is I think a lot of people, their first reaction is, a real pharmacist, to which I'm thinking, I mean, you think pill mills are, some meth head in a trailer somewhere? Like, it's, that's the problem. It's real doctors and real pharmacists and real ordinary upstanding-looking citizens who are giving out prescriptions for cash that they shouldn't.
Yeah, and which the incredible part about this and what always, confounds me is the fact that you have doctors and pharmacists, both of which are paid relatively well doing this to make extra money. I mean, it's different, if you're a convicted felon, you're a drug dealer, at least you can, it's still wrong and we still put you in prison, but at least you can wrap your mind around that. It's not like he's going to get a job at NASA, building rockets. So, but these people, you're sitting here thinking you go to all this school and it's a pharmacy school and medical school, obviously very difficult to get through. And yet you get through all that to break the law like this and become a drug dealer.
Well, it's
makes no sense.
It's like you see it all the time. Greed doesn't know any bounds, and the thrill of what you feel like you can get away with is something, criminals, a lot of them have it, right? So they do crazy, risky, terrible, horrible things. You kind of made the comment in passing about the FBI botching a case. No surprise or no kidding, of course. What did you mean by that? Because that comes as a surprise to me to hear a law enforcement officer say that, but that's why I wanted to ask.
Well, and I'm a graduate of the FBI National Academy. So back in 2010, I went to the FBI Academy for 10 weeks and graduated there. And I can tell you, back then, it was a different animal. And now it's a different animal. And in between was the problem. So during the previous administration in Washington, basically the FBI was just a political weapon, I believe. This is my personal opinion. And they weren't interested in solving crimes. They had no interest in it whatsoever. And luckily, now this current administration has got a new person in charge in Pensacola, and they are I've dealt with them so far, and they are awesome. And hopefully the FBI is getting turned around by Cash Patel and Dan Bongino, and hopefully it's going to go back to their roots, which is finding criminals and arresting them. That's what they're there for.
Well, if you've worked with them individually here and you say it's better, then I'll take that. I'm glad to have that be the case. We had a really very sad, very horrible thing happen over the weekend. Sergeant Dale Berrien, a 21-year veteran of your office, your agency, passed away, right?
Yeah, and what a great guy. He cleared the road of a DAV, a disabled vehicle. And he worked night shift. He got home, and then that morning had a heart attack. And then he went into the hospital, and apparently there were some other issues that occurred, and then he passed away. So, yeah, it's just a sad day for our agency, and truly a great guy. He's one of, cops get into the business for several different reasons. A lot of them get into it for the excitement. It's something new every day. You never know what's going to happen, that kind of thing. And then some get in just to help people. And Dale was that guy. Dale would, he would never pass a stop motorist. He was always trying to help people. And, of course, 56 years old and passing this early, it's just horrible.
I guess if it's – so that was – I'm assuming that the heart condition was worsened or affected by him pushing the – because that's a pretty high level of exertion, especially when you're wearing all your gear and it's in the heat. Even at night, it's still hot around here. So that's a service-related fatality. Is that right?
Well, yeah. Florida legislature passed a law basically saying that any heart-related condition for a first responder is considered line-of-duty death, which opens up a lot more avenues for the family to get more money, to get assistance with the burial. It just opens up a lot of channels for the family to get over, all the financial burden that they're going to go through, because obviously, you lose your breadwinner of the family and it's very sudden. So you have no time to plan. So there are expenses that just, you have to take care of. And this is something that will help the family.
Yeah. And especially, in prime of life, peak earning years, I'm assuming he's got kids and wife and.
Yep, he does.
It's horrible. Yeah. I also assume that you'll let us know when the funeral arrangements are and, anything related to that.
Yeah, today we're going over to Pensacola and we're going to escort his body from the medical examiner to the funeral home. So okay. It's all going to be in Pensacola. So if you get some stop traffic in Pensacola this afternoon, please be patient. That's what we're doing. If you see a lot of police cars, because you will, we're going to do the escort. So just be a little more patient for us, and we'll try to get through it as fast as possible. And then I believe the arrangements are going to be Saturday morning is when he's going to be interred, I believe. But I don't know all the specifics, but we will let you know when it occurs.
Well, please know that we're, you know, praying for your agency, praying for his family. And if there's anything we can do, I assume you'll let us know.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew.
Absolutely. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson, thank you as always for the time. And, you know, in what as this case clearly shows, you know, literally putting your lives on the line to protect us, even in ways you might not normally think of it. But it's definitely the case. Yeah. Sheriff, thanks for the time, sir.
Yes, sir. Take care.